Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This week on First Date. Well, although, once you get into stand-up, you don't date stand-ups.
Oh, really?
Well, I say that, but then you see Tom and Christina. Wife?
Yeah, I mean, they're...
But
they're miserable, right? They're so miserable. You can tell.
I was looking for you to top my story.
I can't. I don't know that anybody can top. I mean, honestly, sex in public stories? Like, I've never heard a better sex in public story. But certainly more than boobs.
Yeah?
But, which is not to say I don't love...
Well, get off my show.
Oh!
I'm so excited to see you tonight.
First Date.
Welcome to another Fabulous. Are you serious?
Yeah.
I can't talk.
I have this effect.
Can you just do the intro for me?
Yeah. Hey, welcome to another fabulous episode of First Date. Your next guest is me, Shazam from Shazam, Chuck from Chuck, Flynn Rider from Tangled. I also wrote a book called Radical Love. It came out last year. It's all about loving ourselves and others, radically accepting ourselves and others. Zachary Levi's here.
Oh my God.
In studio.
And here is your question for me.
Fantastic. Great. Let me just get into this. Wouldn't that be fun?
So.
Just interviewing myself.
Jesus.
It's going to be amazing.
I don't even need to be here.
No, that's not true. Somebody's got to look hot.
Thank you. So this is
I was talking about myself, but that's fine.
God damn it.
Do it.
You know, I will take compliments wherever they may lie.
Get them.
So this is a menu. I've got appetizer questions.
Yeah.
And then I have... main course questions.
Yeah, you do. And then some dessert.
I knew you knew.
Is there any amuse-bouche in there?
I have some hors d'oeuvres.
All right.
I have a few.
Okay.
Do we need a safe word?
Pineapple.
Everybody says pineapple.
I know. I don't know what it is.
Why pineapple?
I don't know. Well, listen, in Chuck, pineapple was, it was literally written into the show as our security word.
You're trademarking it?
It's kind of. But here's the thing, though. Even people who never watched Chuck, I mean, pineapple is kind of the weird random word that everybody
literally
chooses as the safe word.
Everyone.
I don't know why, but it's kind of great. It's great that all of our minds, it's the collective consciousness, and we all recognize that if anybody just happens to say pineapple in the throes of passion, that must mean something different.
Yeah.
Unless you really love pineapple.
Right? It's a very
maybe that's
sweet
your kink.
Fruit. Maybe it is.
Yeah, if it's your kink, you shouldn't use pineapple as your safe word.
All right. So we got pineapple as a safe word. If I've seen any red flags, I'll throw them out. Green flags, too.
Sure.
Are you ready?
Let's go. Start with the apps.
Let's see here. What's your guilty pleasure?
Wait, you mean just in life or like on a date or?
This is called first.
Yes, I understand. But I mean, you know, it's a swath of, what's my guilty pleasure?
In life. What's your guilty pleasure?
I mean, I feel like I have many guilty pleasures. I don't know. I don't feel very guilty about my pleasures. Is that weird? Is that wrong? I was saying, I think I have a lot of guilty pleasures, but I really don't because I just enjoy the things that I enjoy and I don't really
feel pleasure.
Guilty about them. Yeah. So none. I don't have any guilty pleasures.
No guilty pleasures.
No.
Okay. What is something that you feel like you could teach me?
I could teach you about a lot of the things I've learned in therapy.
My childhood trauma?
There you go. I can teach you all about your childhood trauma.
Damn it.
It's dark.
I bet. I know.
That's why we're here right now.
It is why we're here right now.
Yeah.
What do you wear when you go to bed?
Nothing.
Do you sleep with it cold in the room?
I sleep with it, I mean, like, cold-ish. Like, it should not... Well, listen, I mean, you know, again, per our, you know, favorite biohackers like the Andrew Hubermans of the world, they say you're supposed to cool your body down a couple degrees in order for your body to really, like, go into the deepest rest. So I don't know. Like, I try to put the AC on, keep it around 72-ish or so, which is still not that cold. I know it's not that cold. Hear me out. But our bodies are, you know, a 98.6 degrees. So if I got it at 72, it's keeping it nice. And also don't, like, wear, you know, like, I've got, like, just, like, a sheet and, like, a little blanket. I'm not using a comforter. Unless it's the wintertime, and then I've got a little bit more of a situation.
What a program.
Yeah, it's a program indeed.
What kind of sheets do you have? Do you have, like, silk sheets, linen, cotton, flannel?
Wamsutta? I don't know.
What?
No, isn't that a brand? Or, like, a, isn't that a... Isn't there a thing? I'm pretty sure there's a brand called Wamsutta. I don't know. I have no idea. They're like cotton sheets, but they're like high thread count, so they feel very silky.
Yeah, to probably catch your sweat in the heat of things since you're sleeping with it at 72 degrees.
What? I'm sorry. Are you living in a fucking igloo?
Absolutely.
What do you keep it at, 66?
If probably 65.
All right, so I can't stay over is what you're saying.
I mean, you'd freeze to death.
Yeah, probably. You know what? I'll stay over, but I'll just get the comforter out, and I'll sleep with the comforter, and you can
like
just
a,
be...
Well, like a little...
Like a cocoon.
What do you... Beanbag.
Like we'll a bean?
A sleeping
bag?
Sleeping bag. You know, I have love sacks. Have you ever had a love
sack? I've had a love sack.
I've got two.
Let me tell you. Do you?
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Like bear fur.
Why have one when you can have two?
Are you a cuddler?
Yeah, totally. I love cuddling, except when, like, just post-coital and things are hot. Like, your body's still, like, hot.
Post what?
Coital. Post-coital, like, right after sex.
Okay.
Post-coital. Come on,
nope.
Stop it.
Never heard that.
You're playing dumb. I know that's not real blonde.
I know it looks like I do that often.
No, like you just, like, you know, if you've built up a lot of body heat from doing the nasty, like, sometimes going right into cuddling is not preferable. Like, let the body temp cool down a little bit, bring that shit in. But if, you know, I need just a moment. I need a moment to breathe and cool down.
All right. We're going to shift a little bit here. Since you were Shazam on Shazam and you know superheroes so well, who do you think would be the worst superhero to date? Go on a date with.
It's a really good question. And one I've never thought of before.
You don't normally think about these things?
I think about the superheroes I'd like to be. I don't think about the superheroes I'd like to date. But I have a feeling like the Hulk would probably be a little bit of an issue. It depends on which version, right? So there's the Hulk later years that was like, he's like refined. Like he's Bruce Banner and the Hulk kind of in one. So he's like, he's acting like a normal human being inside, but he's all hulked out.
Yeah.
But if you remember from the movies, Bruce Banner would turn into Hulk and Hulk would just lose his shit.
Yeah.
So I feel like that would be tenuous. That would be a difficult date to be on because, like, you know, I don't know, all of a sudden kind of you're at some place and the waiter fucks up the order and he's like, Hulk smash! And he just wants to go crazy. And you're like, fuck, he does this all the time. And then you're just having to pay for everything.
He doesn't
remember it ever.
Yeah.
And by the end of the whole escapade, he's now butt naked because he's ripped through all of his clothes. And now you're embarrassed. I don't know. That would be very difficult.
Yeah, I agree.
But that would be more difficult for you, not for me, because I'm not dating dudes. That's
fun
all.
Fact.
Yeah, fun fact.
What about a female superhero? I can't talk on this podcast today.
What about a female superhero? What a female? I don't know. They're all the female superheroes are pretty cool.
What about Wonder Woman? Like she might kind of like she's got to be a little arrogant to be called Wonder Woman.
But, I mean, Superman's called Superman, and he is humble as the day is long. and so is Wonder Woman. I think they're great. They're great characters and they're super chill. I don't know. Black Widow, she kind of started as not a hero. She was kind of a
Catwoman.
Catwoman. She's more of a villain, though.
I'd be allergic.
So would I.
So
that would be difficult.
I know.
Just like sneezing the whole time. You're like, this feels great. But also, do you have any like Zantac? No, what is it? Zyrtec.
Zyrtec.
Zyrtec. Zantac, I think.
It's okay. It's about time you fucked up a word.
Acid reflux. Listen, I try not to keep pharmaceutical drugs memorized in my head. Big pharma, look out, guys. Continue.
I will move on to main course questions. Mm. What is a deal breaker for you in a relationship? Everything's going well and then this happens.
Well, like, I need somebody who has their own thoughts and opinions and feelings about, I don't know, everything. Like, I need somebody who thinks about shit. I've been in relationships with wonderful girls, but when it comes to unpacking big ideas or even small ideas, you're like, hey, what do you think of that? And they're like, I don't know.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, well, kind of. And but there's, that's a lot of like, that's a lot of, oh, what's the term I'm looking for? Codependency. That's, which is not good. You do not want to be in a relationship with someone who's codependent. Because they really are just kind of taking on all that you are and all that you believe and all that you desire and all that you see. And that just becomes a really kind of fucking boring echo chamber. And I don't want anything to do with that. Also, anyone who carries themselves in any arrogance whatsoever, like that is just not, that's not it. Yeah. It's a huge turnoff. Like, I think because that's an immediate indicator that they're actually not confident, that they are compensating for that. So, you know, I think those things are pretty big red flags.
Yeah.
You know, but also, I don't know, the codependent thing, sometimes that takes a minute to figure out, but arrogance rears its ugly head almost immediately. It's like how somebody treats a waiter at a restaurant, or how they, you know, talk about anybody. Or
I feel like that's always the easiest way to tell how someone's attitude is towards other people is at a restaurant.
How do they treat waitstaff? Oh, yeah. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. Or really just anybody in general, a fucking Uber driver, or, you know, I don't know, you know, pick your job, pick your vocation that they're just trying to get through their day and do the best they can. And it's, you know what? It's entitlement. Anyone, if I ever meet somebody who just walks with an air of entitlement, I'm like, get the fuck away from me, because you clearly don't understand how blessed you are. You clearly don't understand how lucky you are that you are even in the position you're in life, where you're not that person, where you're not the teller at the bank, you're not the Uber driver, you're not the host at the restaurant. Like, that you get to be the person on the other side of that, enjoying whatever services they're providing.
Yeah.
Humble yourself. Like,
for real.
Yeah, it's super important.
Do you ever get jealous, or do you get jealous easily?
No, I don't think so. No, because I don't, I'm not trying to be with anybody who, if I'm with somebody and I'm jealous, it's because I don't trust them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a bigger thing. You
yeah.
know?
Like, what's the root of that?
Exactly. If I'm with a girl and she's talking to a guy, like, again, not like talking to, like, you know, talking to them, like trying to date them, but I don't know, I'm dating a girl and we're at some party and she happens to be chatting up somebody or whatever. It really comes down to, do I trust her? If I trust her, then I know there's nothing in that exchange. If I don't trust her, then I start feeling, oh God, what's going on? Is she talking to him? Because, like, you know, but that's just really insecurity on my own part. So I feel like I've done a lot of work on myself. When I was younger, before I had any idea or semblance of who the fuck I was, you know, certainly I was in relationships where I felt more threatened or jealous, but it's been a long, long, long time since then.
Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Do you think you have a type?
Do I have a type? I don't know.
Are you into boobs or butt?
Butt certainly more than boobs.
Yeah?
But, which is not to say I don't love...
Well, get off my show.
Oh. But you have a nice both.
Thanks.
What are you talking about?
You haven't even seen my butt. I've been walking towards you the whole time.
I've been walking towards you, not away from you. How would you know?
I haven't said bye.
First of all... you walked in here and sat down, and obviously I saw your butt. Also, I've seen your Instagram, so how could I not have seen your butt? Jesus Christ. Your ass and tits are all over your Instagram. But no, like, here's the thing. Hear me out.
You just got me huge hits on my Instagram page, by the way.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, go. Check out this fucking hoe's Instagram, guys. Unbelievable. TNA for days. Clickbait. No, listen, the reason.
Star that moment.
The reason. The reason
That's
why.
Red flag.
Red flag. The reason why. By the way, it is a little bit of a red flag. Just saying, thirst trappy. The reason why I, in that, if given the choice between butt and boobs, the reason why I will lean toward butt is because I think that butt is, more often than not, is something that is not just like a given genetic blessing. And it's more of an indication that a girl takes care of herself, that she works out, that she's healthy, that she's fit, right? You can have a very nice set of boobs that God gave you and you did nothing to earn, and or a doctor gave you and you paid for them. So, but either way, it's not that I don't appreciate them, because I do. But if you're giving me the one or the other, I'm going to go with butt.
Yeah. I grew mine.
There you go.
Not that you care. But I just, you know, fun fact. I've had some really nice girls ask me, like, where did you get your boobs done? And it's always such a fun compliment, because I'm like, oh. Well, I grew that myself.
As a matter of fact. Homegrown.
On the farm. So you've dated a comedian in Miss Maisel. Would you ever date a comic in real life?
Are you asking me out?
You're on my show.
Of course. I'm trying to think if I've dated a comedian before. Listen, I'm definitely not opposed to it, even though you guys are super fucked up. Talk about darkness. No, listen, I'm a massive fan of stand-up comedy. In fact, I've done stand-up before, about 20 years ago. When I first started in Hollywood, I was working on a show, and one of the other actors on the show was a stand-up, and they really believed in me, and they basically kidnapped me one night. They said, you should work on like 5 minutes, like 5 to 10 minutes. And I was like, okay. And then they kidnapped me and took me to Irvine to some like random open mic. And then I started doing comedy for about a year. And it was always good. It was never great. I never bombed. And because I never fully bombed, I got to, like, after doing, I don't know, like a dozen, or not even a dozen, probably half a dozen, like, you know, appearances over the course of that 6 months to a year, I was like, all right, I'm going to quit while I'm ahead. But the truth is, I was terrified of bombing. And also, I was 22 years old, and I didn't have enough, like, life experience to really have a point of view. I didn't, like, comedy is only, to me, it's only as good as that comic's ability to see real life and comment on it in their specific funny way, right?
Yeah.
And I did not have enough live experience. And I knew it. I knew it at that time. So I say all that to say, I'll probably get back into stand-up at some point, which means it would be very hypocritical of me to be like, no, I'm not going to date a comic.
Although, once you get into stand-up, you don't date stand-ups.
Oh, really?
I mean, Emma? Well, I say that, but then you see Tom and Christina.
Wife? Yeah, I mean, they're...
But
they're miserable, right? They're so miserable. You can tell. No. No, they're wonderful. They're both fucking hysterical and successful and, you know, building a whole empire together. So, like, I don't know. I do not discriminate just because somebody's a comic.
Yeah.
It really does come down to what is their soul about, like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you feel about open relationships? Do you think they work?
I don't know. I've never been in an open relationship. Here's the thing. Now more than ever, holy crap. I mean, Austin, LA, New York, it's like polyamory's everywhere. Everyone wants to be in an open relationship. And I have friends who are in them, who are stoked, who think this is the way. And I have friends that have been in them, and it was one of the most miserable experiences of their life. I don't know. Again, it's this, it just kind of depends on what lens you're looking through and what it is you're trying, I think, what life you're trying to go and live in your life, you know?
Have you ever had sex in public? Like in a crazy public place? Public could be outdoors, back of a truck. I've had sex at Disneyland.
What? Please explain.
I just did that so you felt comfortable.
Oh, no, I need to hear the story. Listen, I've had sex on a beach and more than just the drink. So I guess that's public.
Sex but it was on like, a beach, the sand didn't get in your way?
I mean...
You had a big beach towel?
We had a big towel.
Like on a cabana?
No cabana, no. It was just like straight up on the beach. There was definitely a little chafing involved. in a car.
High school?
Yeah, or just out of high school.
Yeah, I feel like everyone did that.
Yeah.
That was your safe space. Yeah.
But I'm not going to lie. I always had a dream of having sex on the People Mover in Disneyland. I was like, that would be a lot of fun.
I had sex on Pirates of the Caribbean.
Stop it!
I did. I didn't, but I was so naive at the time.
How old were you?
Like 8. No. Not 18 or 19.
Yo ho! Yo ho! A pirate's life for this bitch. That's
yeah,
what's up.
I swabbed the deck.
Yes, you did.
Wait, hold on.
Wait, I gotta know all these details. You were 18 years old.
18 or 19.
18
remember.
Or 19.
Yeah.
You're at Disneyland, Pirates of the Caribbean. Mm. At what point in the ride did you guys initiate?
Well, we had ridden the ride earlier that day.
Okay.
And we were like,
and looking
this
for cameras.
By the way, this is also how I lost my virginity.
This? What? You lost your virginity on Pirates of the Caribbean?
Shazam!
Come on! So you wrote it earlier in the day. Were you guys like looking for cameras to make sure that nobody could see you?
No, that's what I'm saying. I didn't even think that there were going to be cameras. I thought that this was like, because I wanted to go out with a bang, you know?
Clearly. You mean go in with a bang. You're not going out. This is number one. This was the first.
This had to be a special moment for
me.
So I get on this ride. We go all the way around the thing and we get off and I'm like, you know, I think that is like where we should. Do it.
I love that, like, other girls are thinking, like, in a park, on a blanket, with a picnic, and all of these like, romantic gestures. You're like, I want fucking skeletons. I'm on a boat with skeletons with swords driven through them. Okay, so you get back on the ride.
So then we go back later that night at like 8:30. We get back on the ride.
Right.
We get our own boat.
Okay.
Because, you know, they have all the little...
You got your own boat because there were very few people going on the ride.
That's right.
Okay.
End of the night. So we go on the boat.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And then
where in the boat were you sitting? The back, the front?
Back.
In the back. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the boat starts going, and I just unbuttoned my shorts, and I sat on his lap. For like the whole ride.
Reverse cowgirl?
Well, it was reverse cowgirl.
Okay.
And then the
oh my God, this is insane.
Somewhere out in the world is a videotape of this.
Maybe. I don't know.
They probably deleted it.
Or they took it home with them and they're part of their personal spank bank. Who knows?
Oh God.
So you guys have sex and at what point did you like initiate like right out of the go?
Oh, so as soon as it went into like the first little cave turn the corner that no one could see us.
Okay.
So
you go down the first hill. And the skeleton's talking to you. Oh, yeah, ye who go beyond here. You're like, yeah. Unzipping like, your pants. Yeah, totally skeleton face. And then you go down the hill and now you're in the cave and then you immediately jump up on his lap.
Yeah.
And then how long does it last? Like
the whole time. Like until the thing ends.
Wait. Like all the way till
the end.
There's a whole other drop in that ride.
Well, I mean, there's also a restaurant.
Well, no, whatever that. You were past the restaurant. The restaurant's only in the beginning. The Blue Bayou. That's in the very beginning. You get on the boat. You trust me. I love me some D-Land. Although
I haven't been. I have been banned from Disneyland.
Clearly not for this. What did you get banned for?
I got banned for this. I haven't gone back.
Wait. So they knew you guys did it?
We got caught.
What?
So the ride ends. And as our boat docks, there's a cleanup crew. And the guy's holding a mop. Another guy's holding Windex and paper towels. And
they made
me clean the boat. And then they took me into Disney prison.
Disney jail.
Disney jail.
You went to Disney jail.
And they took my picture.
Pirates of the Caribbean. And you've been banned ever since?
And I'm banned from Disneyland.
Oh, my God. That's so sad. It's the happiest place on earth.
Yeah, it's now the only place I can't go on earth.
Can you go to Disney World? Or is it like
I'm sure
worldwide ban? You've never even tried.
I haven't.
I mean, they might have. It might be like a. There might be a mugshot of you, 18-year-old you. Like, look out for this bitch. You don't let her in this park either.
There's definitely
you could try
a
to go to like Tokyo Disney, and they're like, no, sorry, no, we know what you did.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive and also sad.
Well, I was looking for you to top my story.
I can't. I don't know that anybody can top. I mean, honestly, sex in public stories? Like, I've never heard a better sex in public story.
Well, then, hey, that's a compliment. I'll take it.
There you go.
All right.
All right.
I'll ask you one more of my main course questions.
We're almost done with the main course. Jeez Louise.
I know. This is only a 30-minute podcast.
Is it really?
I know. Chug your coffee.
Jesus.
Let's say that your significant other is gaining weight. How do you tell them they're getting fat?
Delicately? No, I don't know. I mean, I guess I would just be like, first and foremost, I think what I would try to do is just be, I don't know, conscientious of where they're at in their life and if they're going through stuff and, you know, like.
You're so loving.
Isn't that what we're all supposed to be?
Yeah.
If we're all that more, the world would be a lot better, I think. Which is also not to say that sometimes we don't need to throw some smack down because some people are just, you know, needing a good smack. But to me, that's hopefully an extension of love. Like, hey, wake the fuck up. You're being an asshole, you know. But also you're still deserving of love. But sometimes you need to get smacked. Like, you know, as a kid, like, I don't know. I mean, I know that there's a lot of like more new age kind of concepts about spanking your kids or not spanking your kids or whatever. Listen, as a kid, I fucking hated it. Obviously, my mom broke multiple wooden spoons on my ass. But in hindsight, I'm grateful for it because it actually kept me from doing some stupid shit that a kid doesn't understand. In that same vein, I think sometimes we need to course correct people, but it should still always be done in love. When it comes to a significant other, I don't know, letting themselves go and not taking care of themselves, I think that's where you need to start there. You need to go and be like, hey, are you loving yourself? It doesn't seem, if in fact they were healthy and happy and fit and whatever they were before, and now they're not, there's a root thing in there. And so just, you know, coming at somebody and be like, yeah, you're fat. Like, obviously that's not going to help the situation, you know? So you got to come into it from more of a place of empathy and being like, hey, but also, if you're with somebody, why are you waiting until they've like fully let themselves go? Why don't you should both be in each other's lives on a regular basis and encouraging each other to be healthy. So I would hope that I'm not even getting to that place where it's like, hey, yo, what happened?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yikes. You just wake up one morning and you're like,
Yeah.
Would you consider yourself romantic?
Oh, yeah. Very.
So my dessert question for you, what is the sweetest thing you've ever done for a partner?
What's the sweetest thing? Just been there. I'm the best. So me just showing up is sweet enough. I don't know. What is the sweetest thing I've done for somebody? That's a really good question. I mean, the truth is I'm not... I haven't really been in that many relationships. Like,
really?
No.
What's the longest relationship you've ever been in?
Like off and on for 5 years, but it was off and on.
How do you know when a relationship is over?
Are they ever? No, I don't know. Well, I mean, look, clearly there are things that are the ends of relationships. Like if somebody cheats on somebody or... has clearly lost their mind or is abusive or something like that, which for some people is still not an indicator enough because people stay in abusive relationships. But listen, way back in the day, I was a hopeless romantic. I would surprise my girlfriends with flowers and presents and, you know, show up at their work and stuff. But
that's a red flag.
It was no, seriously. It was. I was love bombing them and I didn't realize that I was. And I was love bombing them because I didn't love myself. And I didn't realize that I needed their love. And so I was trying to be what I was hoping they would be for me. But also, I don't think I even really understood what love was until about 6 years ago when I had a complete mental breakdown, which is why I wrote my book. I mean, that was the book is all about me having a I literally moved to Austin 6 years ago with all these big dreams of building this movie studio, living community, bought all this land out east of town, and had a total mental breakdown and didn't realize that I basically had been going for 37 years of life and I didn't even know what it meant to love myself. So all of the love that I thought that I felt for all of these girls in the past, certainly some of that was real love, but a lot of that was a deep insecurity or desire to be loved. And so I think a lot of people do that. In an attempt to try to feel love ourselves, we will go and love bomb. We will go and give all this love to somebody because we're trying to somehow instigate the reciprocity of that. And so I did that a lot when I was younger, and shocker, didn't work.
Yeah.
I would date a girl for like 4 months and they're like, deuces, like can't handle it. And it would devastate me. I'd be so wrecked. But I knew deep down, like I've always been somebody who deeply loves, like I know like one of my purposes on this earth is to go and love people like legitimately.
So what's the difference between how you used to love and how you love now?
Well, I think what it means to love now is it has to start with you. You have got to love yourself first. Otherwise it's a version of love, but it doesn't have healthy boundaries in it. And healthy boundaries are absolutely necessary to love someone in a healthy way. So what love feels like now is far less of this romantic, like, oh my God, you know, that kind of thing. Although I don't know. I mean, maybe I just haven't met that. I've been still trying to wait. I mean, I don't know. I would love to find whoever my ride or die is. I don't know. I don't
know.
A
big booty bitch.
Big booty bitch. Thick with three C's, y'all. Like, what are we even talking about? But yeah, I think that when I do, then there'll definitely be a much more of like, more of an inclination to want to go and kind of be that extra romantic or not love bomb, but, you know, like do things similar-ish or whatever. But they'll be much more measured and much more, I don't know, rational,
yeah.
Much more adult, much more... not acting out of my own insecurity or need for love, but rather simply like, I just fucking love this girl. I just love her. And I want to be able to be there for her and show up for her and vice versa, you know?
Yeah. So let's recap your red flags.
Entitlement, arrogance, unawareness. That's another one. I think people that are just like unaware, I can't handle. But I think that also kind of goes along with entitlement. People who are entitled don't feel like they need to be aware of other people's needs or what's going on.
Yeah.
Also, if you don't have a sense of humor, out. What else? I don't know. Like those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do you think your red flags are?
Like what people need to look out for in me?
Yeah.
I don't know. They're all a little maroon, really.
Shades of pink.
Shades of pink. It's like a hot pink. Hot pink flags.
You shout out whores Instagrams?
Yeah. Is that a red flag? I feel like I'm doing the world a service. That's a service. I'm telling everybody, look out for fucking yo-hos over here. Look out. If yo bitch been banned from Disneyland, you know you got a problem. No, I don't know. What are my red flags? Listen, I'm still definitely working on me, no doubt.
Which is
a
green flag. That's like such a positive thing.
Yeah, it's a green flag. The biggest red flag for me is that I am never in one place longer than a couple of weeks right now. Like my life has me bouncing around and traveling everywhere. And that's very difficult to, like, even if you find somebody who's great, how do you then consistently woo them, date them, have any kind of normalcy at all? I mean, that's part of the reason why I wanted to build a movie studio in my backyard, because I'm so sick of getting shipped all over the world to go do these jobs. And every time I do, it's like, you know, peace. See you when I see you.
Yeah.
Like it's not healthy. It's not good. You can't, not only can you not build a relationship with someone special, you can't build a community. So I don't know. So yeah, a red flag if, you know, if a girl's looking at me, it's like, hey, I'm not going to be around much long. You know, it's
you
it's
sound
like,
a lot more positive than negative.
I hope so.
I'd have you back on a second date.
I like that.
Definitely.
All right.
We'll check out your book. Is there, where can people find you?
At Zachary Levi on Instagram and on Twitter. I have no other social media.
Thank you for coming on my show.
Thanks. I had a great first date.
We'll see you next time.
First date, baby.
Are you really drinking a glass of milk with dinner?
First date.